Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a real good show for you. You can just simply call in at 347-867-857-1769. That's once again 347-857-1769. You can tune in right now as we speak, or you can go to Dr. J. Walker, the letter J, drjwalker.com, and be able to pick up the show in its entirety over the air right now. So we've got a great show for you tonight. We're going to be airing that show and bringing the story going to be coming forward to you momentarily. So I want to just place some emphasis on last week's show, where we talked about, we had that show where we got heavily involved, people seeking to do something differently by looking at, one of our topics was, how do you know if you're really truly in love? We did that show 2 weeks ago, and that's a show that we're looking at. And we did another show last week, when we were putting people out there in terms of things that also would interest them, getting people to look at their lives. We've done so many shows, how to deal with suspicions of cheating. We've had countless shows. What are some of our other shows that we recently did? We just did last week's show, and that one was, do you understand the marital vows? Now, that was a very deep show that we did. Do you really understand the marital vows? And surprisingly, we had a number of people on there, and one guy that had been married for, I believe it was 32 years. And when I mentioned that, it appeared that he didn't even sound like he knew exactly what I was talking about. But those marital vows, and I can clearly, I do get it. A lot of people sometimes, they just feel that, you know what, for some reason, whatever the reason is, they just don't seem to remember those marital vows. And it appears that just when they are up there dealing with the marital vows, that's when they have a tendency to remember. So, it's not uncommon for people to really get to the point where they're knowing that, hey, I don't remember those vows. I think people are sometimes so nervous about being up there until they really just don't see or pay attention to those vows. They're just thinking about, chances are the woman is thinking how excited she is because her day has finally come, even if it's been a second or a third time or even a fourth time for that matter. Her day has finally come, and she's going to enjoy this day to the fullest. So, I mean, there are a number of factors that go on when it comes to getting married and so forth and so on. And you can't really blame people. But I think the best time that those vows really should come into play is when, before you get married. I think that's the time that minister or whomever it is, that counselor, needs to sit down with you and say, you know what, let's go over these vows. And even if you're making a few of your own vows, there are certain standard vows that I think goes with the territories of getting married, that people really believe in the sanctification, the spiritual element of marriage. I think that there are certain things that people need to clearly be abreast of, and that is, to have and to hold, forsaking all others, to death do you part. I think that there are so many things that people need to be mindful of when it comes to getting married and honoring your vows and stuff like that. So you definitely want to, keep that in mind, because other than that, you begin to say, well, what's the purpose of getting married, just to say that you're going to go through a ceremony of some sort? I think marriage is more than just that ceremony. Marriage marriage is that thing where we really have to take serious to the point where we're saying, you know what, if I were to go get married, I want to be able to say unequivocally that it's those vows that I'm going to hold on to. It's the marriage relationship. It's clearly thinking that, you know what, I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. I'm going to treasure these marital vows. When you talk about to have and to hold from this day forward, these words are part of a commitment that you're making before God to that significant other that you're talking with. And when you're not able to clearly honor those things, then you have broken your vows, not only to your significant other, but you've broken the vows before God. And I believe that becomes a serious, serious issue. So you might want to think about that. I mean, those of you all that are considering marriage and you're thinking that, I can just go through the ceremony. I don't even have to really feel a certain way. I can just get up there and go through this stuff. And, the person clearly understands that we're just getting married. So you want to think about that. You really want to think about that. And to find out if, in fact, you are really one person who is ready for marriage in that sense. So, okay, once again, you're listening to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We had last week, our featured guest, Tamara G. from 101.5 Light FM. She joined us last week, and we're grateful for that. This week, we're probably just going to do some talking, and we're entertaining some of the comments that have come in through the studio. So we may not take it upon ourselves to get to a number of people that are calling in. So if we decide to not take all of the calls tonight, instead do a great deal of the talking, we're asking that you all don't take it personally, but don't give up on us. So, because I've got a lot that I want to really talk about, and I haven't been able to just talk over the air like I've wanted to on some occasions. But we will, I promise you this, we will maybe take a few calls for that matter and entertain that. We're going to go to the story in about 10 minutes. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. And in tonight's story, the character is Teresa. We're going to talk about Teresa. Tonight's topic, as a matter of fact, is seeking your purpose in life. This is a topic that a lot of people, surprisingly, have trouble doing. They can be 40 and 50 and 60 years of age and even older and still don't have a clue of what their purpose is in life. So tonight we're going to just talk just a bit about seeking your purpose in life. A lot of people who even attend church, they get to the point where they're saying, you know what, even after attending church, I still don't know what my purpose is in life. You know, how do you find your purpose in life? I don't think that that's something easy for a lot of people to do, to find, you know, finding their purpose in life. I really don't. I think that, you know, there are some components, there are some things that go with it. And sometimes, you know, we pull on our passion only to get to our passion and realize, well, that's not it. That's not what I really wanted to do. I really wanted to do something differently. And unfortunately for us, time seems to travel so fast until, before you know it, 10 years have passed, and you're still in almost a guessing game. Well, gee, what is it that I'm going to do? What do I want to do? And then you start to have feelings of kind of feeling miserable. And I think some of that misery comes in because you haven't discovered your purpose in life, your true purpose in life. And I think that all of us play a role. We have a purpose in life that God has given us. And sometimes it just may be that we're not pushing hard enough to discover that purpose in life. So on tonight's program, I just want to give you something maybe to think about as you pursue your purpose in life. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We're going to welcome your comments as you send them in, and I want to find out what your thoughts are in terms of your purpose in life. Now, there's a guy, a pastor out there, Pastor Warren, who talks about a purpose-driven life. He's written a series of books on a purpose-driven life. And so I want to hear from you. We'll take a few callers. If you press 1 at any point in time, press 1 on your dial. You can press that now. And we'll see if you've discovered your purpose in life. Because I think, as I said, I think all of us have a purpose in life. And sometimes people just can't figure it out. You've got parents whose children actually have talent. I mean, talent. But sometimes the children may have a talent that you don't see it as a talent. You might see it as a blessing from, let's say, the devil. But that child has natural talent, and you want something else for them. Perhaps you want them to go to college. And the child may not even have an interest in college at all. And so what begins to happen is they become depressed. You become depressed because neither one of you are getting what they want. You want them to do what you want them to do in life, which might be to go to college. They may have a career in dancing or something else in the arts, and they're saying, Mom or Dad, this is what I really want to do. You know, I'm not interested in that other stuff. I want this one thing. That's my passion. Why can't it be the life that I want to live? You know, you've lived your life, whether you had a good life or not. It's my time to live my life, so give me that chance to be who I am and to discover me. And sometimes those parents haven't even discovered their purpose in life. They have not. So, you know, that becomes a valid question. How does one discover their purpose in life? Sometimes people can't even answer that. Now, that's amazing. Sometimes they go around and sometimes we feel we can fix everybody else. But when we ourselves are in desperate need of help, we're in desperate need of help. And so we can't seem to fix anybody else because we think we can. But, you know, I know people who have children that have tremendous talent. And because they're not doing what the parent wants them to do, then they find themselves, the parent is miserable, the child is miserable. So, you know, let's speak to that for a moment. If your child has a natural talent, okay, we're talking about seeking your purpose in life. They have a natural talent to be a dancer, and you feel that dancing is anti-religious or something along those lines, and you just feel like you don't want your child dancing because they are shaking and baking and moving all about. Well, guess what? That may be that child's talent. But now you're trying to put them in something else that they don't have an interest in. And then you're hoping and praying that, hey, I hope my child, one day maybe my child will come around to realize that they're not really a dancer, but they should be doing this. And that's how now all of a sudden the natural talent that he or she may have had, it all of a sudden disappears, meaning it's become suppressed because the child doesn't even want to do that anymore because you've killed their dream. You know, and as a matter of fact, we're going to have a show on that. Can parents be dream killers? Can parents be dream killers? Wow, that's a deep show. Yeah, can parents be dream killers? That is, we've heard of other people being dream killers, like you have family members that are dream killers. But when you actually have your parents as dream killers, I believe that hurts more than anybody else. That hurts more than a friend. That hurts more than a sibling, because that's your parent who has decided that they don't believe in your talent. Wow. All right, well, in about 3 minutes, you'll let me know. We will go through tonight's story, and we're going to speak solely on tonight's story. So can parents be dream killers? That's a future show that's coming. As a matter of fact, we might do that one next week. Seeking your purpose in life. We're going to go to the phone lines momentarily, and let me just go ahead and take a call before we go to the story tonight. We're going to go to 305-300. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us? Yes, you're live. 305-300.
This is Audrey. Is it me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Audrey, we can hear you. Audrey, tell us, you want to speak to the issue of seeking your purpose in life, or perhaps you would like to speak to my upcoming topic, can parents be dream killers?
Oh, man, you know so much of what's going on right now with my child. So it's like I was waiting to hear other people talk. I was going to keep quiet for a while and just listen. Because
okay.
I am in the middle of something right now with a child that is gifted, and I am seeing college for her. She's not seeing college. She's seeing what she wants to do right now. So I am in the middle of that right now. So I really want to listen tonight. Listen and see if someone would help me out, because I really need help today.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you a question. Tonight's topic is seeking your purpose in life. I'm going to ask you to stand by, and we're going to go right through the story. So stand by. We're going to mute you out just for a moment, and then we'll come back and open up with you. Just stand by while I go to tonight's story, and I want to make a few comments. Will you do that for us?
Yeah, but I'm wondering, can you be too old to have a new purpose in life, or a new dream or new goals, you know?
I don't think so at all. I really don't think so. Yeah, not at all. Not at all. That's my opinion. But we're going to ask you to stand by, and we're going to come right back to you after we read the story. But just before I read the story, I do want to I do want to say tonight's topic is seeking your purpose in life. And again, we've done shows where we talk about parents don't always get it right. They really don't. Sometimes parents make a mistake because sometimes parents tend to feel that because they may have been successful in one area in their lives, they want their children to follow suit of that path or a similar path, when the child may have a totally different talent and totally different aspiration for something. And, I mean, if your child, for example, and we heard Audrey say earlier, and I believe I heard her say that she's thinking about college for her child, her child may not be thinking college. And I'm not calling her out there, but I think this is what she mentioned this evening. But you do have parents out there. They want their child to go to college. But the child has a skill in the arts, and he wants to go to that particular trade school. And the parent is saying, no, you're going to go to college. Well, I think that at that point, and this is just my humble opinion, it could be a waste of money trying to force that child to go to college, because if it's not what they really want, and even if they get there and they're not, that first semester, their grades reflect that this child was serious. you know, and you're trying to figure out what's wrong with you. You're trying to get them motivated and so forth and so on. The next semester, you know, you still got these challenges where the grades are not there, the child is not happy. Now all of a sudden, the child is living the life that you want them to live instead of living the life that they want to live. Some children are super gifted by going to the area that they want. I say give them a chance. Give them a chance to blossom. And if they figure, oh, at least I'm out here, this can work for me, and I spent 2, 3, 4, 5 years even, that's their dream. And if it still doesn't work, then if the child decides him or herself that they want to give up and go to do something else, I just say love them and support them. Love them, support them the best way you can, encourage them. And that's what I'm thinking. To answer Audrey's question to the best of my ability, and this is my humble opinion, I don't think you're ever too old to pursue a different dream or seek a different purpose in life. If you're 70 and you figure, you know what, I have yet to discover my purpose in life, then you know what, just keep going after something. You know, sometimes people say follow your passion. Maybe you'll get there. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to tonight's story now. Tonight's character is Teresa, because tonight's topic is seeking your purpose in life. Today's story is about Teresa, a young woman 2 months away from her 30th birthday. All right? She has no children. She has no husband. She's dated on occasion. Teresa is considered a perfect catch for the right man. She's well-educated, has a lucrative paying job as a professional. She is in the process of buying her own home. She has money in the bank and extremely good looking. All right, all of these are pluses, one would think. The challenge for Teresa is she is lonely, she's miserable, and borderline depressed because she feels as though she has not discovered her true purpose in life and her time clock for having children is running out. This is what she feels. She recently ended a 2-year relationship because she knew in her heart that the guy that she was with was not who she really wanted, although he was super nice to her. This wasn't what she wanted. It just was not the right fit, she felt. Now, here's a list of things Teresa has either done or is still doing. We're talking about seeking your purpose in life. She attends church regularly and participates in the services, but has no clue of what her real purpose in life is. She has prayed for years trying to come across her real purpose in life. She's talked with family members and even friends. She's spoken even with pastors and has also seen a professional counselor, but she still has not gained clarity on what her purpose is in life. Her passion as a child was becoming a nurse, an RN, a registered nurse. But now that she's reached that goal, she's not excited about her career path as a nurse or even medicine for that matter. Now she's on the verge of giving up because she feels there is something more than she is supposed to be doing, but does not have a clue on the answers to seeking her purpose in life. Teresa has done all of this, pretty much gone the route of nursing because her mother encouraged her along that path to have that passion. This is what she kind of forced on her. And now Teresa, being a registered nurse, has no desire to continue with that. Now we start out tonight, and I'm going to go back to Audrey here and ask the question, have you ever felt like Teresa? If so, what did you do, if anything, differently? So let me go back here now and bring her back in and ask that question. Audrey, if you can hear us, and you heard tonight's story. Here's a situation where Teresa's mother encouraged her along that path. And now that Teresa has done that thing that her mother wanted her to do, she's not even happy with that. Teresa's still confused about seeking her own purpose in life. Have you ever felt like Teresa? Audrey, we're back with you.
Oh, yes.
All right, so you have felt like Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In what way have you felt like Teresa, that you may have done something that somebody else wanted you to do, or you may have even forced it on your child for what you want to
do? Okay, when I was younger, I felt like I was very good in drama and not really public speaking, but like stand-up comedy, make people laugh at all times. I was very good at that. But since I get older now, I am more doing it now, but I've been working all my life as something else. But the only time I'm happy is when I'm doing that. When I put on event and I host it, I MC, and people have been calling me a lot to do MCing for their program lately. And I'm like, my husband say, but you're good. Why you didn't do this? But all my life I was doing it before, but nobody saw that as a profession or, you know, something that would take me anywhere, because that was coming from the fact that I used to do drama when I was young, you know. But nobody saw that as anything, as, you know, going somewhere, just like when I'm looking at my daughter now. I don't see her career as if it's going to make her money to live comfortable. So we choose something else. And every time I think back, I'm happier doing the next thing, but I'm still doing, I'm in a field that I am making money to live. So sometimes we give up what we really should be doing to survive in something else.
Okay, so.
And I don't know if that's wrong.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. You associate money with being able to make money, and maybe. Could it be that you feel that your daughter won't make money in the field that she's going into enough to take care of herself? But
that's the only reason why parents really push children another direction. Also, you know, that's the only reason. We are thinking that they need to survive, and we don't see it as, okay, a break might come for an actress or a singer or a dancer, but not very often, you know? So we tend to try to push them in where we think they could make money to survive, but we're not going to be here forever to see them. And sometimes they're not happy doing it, because I don't even know if I'm happy. I give up on myself. But I'm saying with my daughter now, I try to push her, and I might be wrong. That's why I'm really mainly listening tonight. I am listening tonight because I don't want to be doing something that is wrong.
I see. So, I mean, if you heard the story, like Teresa here, her mother pushed her to become a registered nurse. Now, you know, she's a couple of months away from turning 30 and becoming a, and she is a registered nurse, but she's not happy because she realized she lived the dream that her mother pushed her and coerced her into doing, and that was becoming a registered nurse. And now she realized, that's not her passion. Her mother suffocated her passion. That's what her mother did. So you got to ask yourself the question, are you suffocating your own child's passion? All right, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. We're going to come back to you. Let's go to phone lines again, 914-226. Welcome to the Dr. Walker Show. Who do we have with us?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us, Rose. Rose, give us your thoughts, seeking your purpose in life. That's not easy for people to do.
I know. I don't think it's easy because sometimes you think you want one thing, but then realize that's not what you really want. But let me comment on what you asked about earlier. Should, you know, parents kind of suffocating their kids or pushing them in a different direction than what the child actually think he or she likes? I think as parents, and I'm a parent myself, and as parents, you want to kind of, I think your duty is to kind of steer your child in the direction that you think he or she needs to go in, but at the same time, you are observing the child's talent and see what comes natural to the child. And I agree with you, Dr. Walker, that every child will not attend college. But at the same time, as a parent, you do want to see your child get the education that you think will help them in the future. So what I think would be maybe the better of both worlds is steer the child in the direction that you think that child needs to go in while you are still supporting the child in what he or she likes. So, say, for example, you spoke about dancing. So, yes, I think you could encourage the child for dancing or support the child. But I agree with the last call, Audrey, that it's only once in a while that a child is going to get be lucky enough or blessed enough to get the part in dancing that is going to, you know, boost the career and to help them to make a living. So I think that child also needs to go to college or get a career and at the same and work on their talent too. I think they need both. Because what happens if you leave that child, you know, a child don't really know what he or she really wants to do. They might like this today, and next month or next year they like something else. So that is why I think we as parents have to steer them. We're not really going to choose their career, but you're going to tell them, okay, you're going to get a college education. Or if you realize that your child does not have what it takes to make it in college, then direct that child to get a trade. But something that is going to help that child to make a living when that child is an adult. And then you can still encourage them to, on the side, to develop their talent. So who knows, if they get a break, they will have their talent. And if they don't, they can fall back on the education that they receive.
Right. I think that's a reasonable point. And Rose, while I've got you on, and just before we go to another caller and start to take some of our comments, I do want to say this here. My wife has a tendency to watch this show called Big Bang Theory, and as a matter of fact, she has, when she's watching it, that seems to be the only thing on TV, you know, most of the TVs in the house. So I'm kind of stuck with watching that, and it's been a pretty interesting show. And there's this young lady on there called Penny. Penny works at the Cheesecake Factory, but she aspires to have a career in acting, according to the TV show. Now, and her friends, she's surrounded by her friends, not necessarily her parents, but when she's an adult, and she works at the Cheesecake Factory on the show. But her passion is to become that actress. Now, Rose, my question to you, even her boyfriend has kind of, in his mind, he's given up on her really being an actress because he feels that she's just not going to make it that route. So in a case like that, Rose, similar to tonight's story, Seeking Your Purpose in Life, if you were one of Penny's friends, would you encourage her, you know, give up on her dream of acting? Or would you say, hey, why don't you, Penny were your daughter, Rose, would you say, look, I'm going to encourage you, as you're saying tonight, in that direction of acting, which she's probably been out there for like 7 years in that same path. And then are you saying at the same time, in the meantime, Penny, I want you to kind of get your college education? Because, Rose, I think that what you said was brilliant. But, you know, again, my wife has been watching this show, and, you know, I'm kind of hooked on it now with her. So what would you say to Penny if she was your child?
I would say there's always in the meantime, and that's what we have to realize. We might have aspirations and dreams about what we want and what we want to do, but what about in the meantime? In the meantime, we need to survive. So the show you just spoke about, I would say that she needs to get something to fall back on. Just in case the acting career does not make it, is she going to work in the Cheesecake Factory for the rest of her life? No, I think she needs to get an education or a trade, something that can actually carry her through life in case the acting career doesn't make it or she does not get the parts that she needs in order to make that a career. I always think that it's best to have that backup.
Okay, but what if she realizes that college is not for her? And now either her parents' money or, in this case, Penny's money is going from the Cheesecake Factory, or she's getting loans or what have you, and she realizes that, you know what, this isn't really for me. I'm just wasting my money and I'm wasting my time. Because I'll give you a case in point, and Rose, I've heard what you said, and it sounds like a brilliant plan. But because in the meantime, I think it's important that you have something in the meantime as a backup plan. Now watch this. I remember years ago, the movie Rocky, starring Sylvester Stallone. He was the writer and one of the writers of that movie. He was the writer of that movie. And they came out Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, and if I'm not mistaken, Rocky 5. And he played in all all of the movies, but this was his movie. Originally, they wanted, when he wrote it and he presented it to some producers, they wanted, I think it was either, I think Paul Newman or Steve McQueen. I think it was Paul Newman. They wanted to play the role. And he said, no, this was my baby. I'm going to do it. Now, my research on Sylvester Stallone was that was his passion to make it in the movie industry. And what he did, instead of him getting a real full-time job or going off to this area to get his education, like maybe his parents wanted him to do or something, he took the mediocre job, stayed in it almost like a penny in Cheesecake Factory, and he didn't make enough money. He rented a room, if I'm not mistaken, just a room from somebody. He would wash his clothes with soap, but he stayed true to his passion. He stayed true to his passion. And I want to hear this. I want you to hear this, because sometimes when we're pushing that child, and all we come to find out is it was a waste of their time, waste of money, waste of your energy and time, and trying to push that child in the meantime. So, Rose, what would you say briefly before I go to the phone lines again about Sylvester Stallone? Is he just one in many that this happened to?
I think so. It might just be one in many. You know, one in a few, as a matter of fact, not even one. Okay, so he stayed his course. I'm not saying that staying it takes hard work. Now, if the child, if I were the parent of a child that want to pursue his or her passion and decide that they want to stay that course and not get a backup education, then I would have to sit that child down and I would have to tell this child, okay, listen, I'm not going to be supporting you all your life. I will pay or help you through college if you decide to go that route, or just decide to get a trade. I will help you through that while you work on your passion. But if you decide that you are not going to get a backup and you're only going to do your passion, there's going to be a cutoff. I'm sorry. There's going to be a cutoff point. So let's say the college education would take 4 years. I'm going to give that child 4 years where that child could still live with me. That child, I would still support the child financially, you know, whatever way that I can, as if that child was in college or in school. But after that 4 years, if that child didn't get whatever her passion or his passion is off the ground, then I'm sorry. I'm finished supporting financially. That child now is going to have to make his or her own way, because that child decided that they didn't want to get a backup. That's just how I feel.
All right, well, Rose, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to
I cannot be financially one for help my mother. As the bread basket for help everybody. All I tell God, I just want just knowledge and understand to make it through life. That's all.
All right. Looks like we got some technical difficulty with that caller. Let's go back to Audrey just for a second. Audrey, have you heard anything so far that might have you thinking? If so, what is that?
Well, we are both thinking the same way right now on just directing the child in a way that they can survive in life. That's all we're thinking as parents. But, you know, my child had beat me down so much that sometimes I strongly believe that she might not go to college right now, because she's actually working in the field that she wants to go right now. She's pushing herself so much in that field now that she's still in high school, but I don't see her going to college right now. But I'm still hoping and praying that that happens. So I am kind of swinging on more on her side now, really. You know, because she's so forceful in want to do what she wants to do in her music and her singing. But my heart is still hurting, and my whole thing is still thinking that what if as a parent, what if it don't work out? You know what I mean? So that's just
right.
The only reason why a parent try to steer their child away from their passion and their stuff. You know, we want them to have something else, but she's so, oh my God, she's so strong-headed in what she wants to do right now. It's really her passion. But I am still, as a parent, saying, what if? You know, and it's
right.
The what if that make me do the opposite.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Audrey, because I've seen a number of parents that have pushed their children to the brink of wanting them to go in the direction that they wanted them to go. And sometimes the children rebel completely. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
they may go to college, but they become a complete failure in college. And sometimes when you're
yeah.
thinking that they're going to college, they're not even going to college. They're leaving the house, but they're not going to college. They're doing something else. And so
mm-hmm.
you're wasting your money, your gas money, your car expense, and everything else because you thought that that's what they were doing. And I have seen numbers of girls, a lot of them, that actually go out there and get pregnant just because they rebel. They find something to channel. We're all going to find something to channel the energy into something else to bring us to serve, like almost like a baby needs that pacifier, even when they're full. Like the child could be living in the house, comfortable with a beautiful room. They could be there with the comfort of food and everything else, the luxuries. But they need that pacifier.
Mm-hmm.
That pacifier, when you're sending them in one direction, they're going in another direction to find comfort. So they find the wrong pacifiers for some reason, and that's where they find their comfort. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You want to speak to the host tonight? You want to make a comment? Tonight we're talking about seeking your purpose in life, and we're going to go to the phone to the comments in just a second. Press 1 on your dial at this time. We're going to bring you in. We had problems trying to bring in one of our last callers, but you can press 1 on your dial at this time, and we'll try to put you in the queue. Let me go and take our first comment for the evening, and we're going to ask Rose to tackle this one for us first. This first comment comes in. The writer sends in this comment. It comes from a male. He says, I'm in my early 40s, and for years I could not figure out what my purpose was in life until I finally met the woman of my dreams and married her. She really opened up. She really opened my eyes, both spiritually and practically. Now, that sounds interesting to me. He says she opened his eyes both spiritually and practically. What, if anything, Rose, do you think that he might be referring to? I have an idea, and I'll speak to that after you.
I really don't know what he's referring to, because he didn't mention his passion. So does it mean that he found his passion after he got married? I'm not sure, but I'm very happy for him that finding his wife helped him to find his passion.
Yeah, I think that I would venture to say that I think that when he says he met the woman of his dream and he married her, so finding his wife, and I believe as a man, he's probably speaking to the issue that in life he may have been confused about his purpose in life until he met this woman that opened his eyes to realize what it is he really wants out of life. So, and it had a spiritual flavor to it and a practical flavor to it, and she was able to do that for him. And I've known countless men who have even said the same thing, that they didn't realize what they wanted until they met that woman. So women have a lot of influence and a lot of impact. Unfortunately, Eve had a great impact on Adam, but that's a whole other show. So we're going to ask you to stand by, Rose, just for a second. Let's go to another call. We're going to go to New York, 917-399. Thank you for joining us, and who do we have with us live?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us this evening, Angela. What do you think life is all about, seeking your purpose in life?
I haven't heard anyone speak on group economics. I see all other races benefiting off of our race of people, and we're the only ones that's not practicing it. And I can relate to what you just said about the guy that rolled in, that his wife helped him get to what his passion was. And
right.
I feel the same way about that. I think it works both ways, where the woman and the man together can help each other pursue their passion. I know in my relationship, my husband is always pushing me to do the things that he sees that I'm best at. And I'm always like, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. That's not me. But I do it best, and vice versa.
Right, right, right. So would you say that how can a person really discover their purpose in life? And I think economics is an important part. But how can people really discover their purpose in life? You got people that are 50, 60 years old and still haven't discovered their purpose in life.
I think that you should not limit yourself, and you should try everything. The world is open to everything for you. Try everything, because there's just not one thing that we are good at. We're good at many things. So you should try everything that you're good at.
Do you think that there are times that maybe a parent can suffocate their child's talent because a parent, when we talk about seeking your purpose in life, like we have Audrey on the line, whose daughter, she's presented to her daughter is talented, but she tends to want her to go in the direction that she wants her to go in. And could it be that sometimes parents, not necessarily Audrey, but parents could suffocate their children's natural talents because they want them to live the life that they want them to live in the meantime, as a backup?
Dr. Walker, I think that it works both ways. Parents can strangle their passion, and then you have those parents who aren't there that don't push their children. So if you have a parent that encourages you, then, you know, I think some parents should fall back and just let their child pick what they want to pick, because that's what they decided at that moment. And it's okay if they change their mind about what they want to do later in life. Now, I understand that they put in the bill for their education, but at the end of the day, you rather your child be happy and pursue what they want to do, or you rather your child be mad at you and not talk to you? Because I see that a lot, where children don't go around people who aren't for their careers, who really didn't back them up. So they stay away from them people because they look at them as being negative towards what they want to do. I think parents should have an open mind about just keep having conversation, dialogue with your kids about what they want to do. And one thing I learned, what I do with my kids is I get them involved in a whole lot of stuff, shoemaking, sewing, cooking classes. I don't just limit them to one thing. And then they can decide later down the line, you know what, I might want to do it all. Why can't they do it all? Who's limited them to just pick one thing?
Okay. All right. So let me go with something Rose said, and I tend to like what some of the things have been said, and particularly something that Rose said earlier, and that is she says, I believe in supporting the child in their talent, and then in the meantime also kind of steering them in the direction of an education. I do like that, but then the question becomes, and let me put this to Rose, bring her back in and put this to Rose, that meantime that I'm concerned about, if the child says, well, no, Mom, this is what I don't really want to do that. I don't want to go to college. You know, and then I do recall you saying, Rose, that you'd put a deadline on that. And probably that's probably the best thing that I can hear, I've heard so far. Putting a deadline on it. Okay, we'll give you 3 years to fully pursue your goal. If in the case of the child, like Audrey mentioned, her daughter's high school, if that's the case, we'll give you 3-4 years to pursue that. And then once, you know, that, if it doesn't happen, then will you do this for me as I support you? Rose, how do you think, what do you think about that? Will you do this for me as I support you in your thing? Let's find a win-win situation. How important is that, Rose, if at all?
Well, that sounds very, very good. I'm sure the child would probably go for that. As a matter of fact, the child might work twice as hard to get his or her passion off the ground, you know, knowing that if it doesn't work, he or she's going to have to submit to what the parent asks them to do. So I think that child will work twice as hard, and that will be fine. And if that child worked twice as hard and it doesn't get anywhere, I think that child will be more than open to try the other route.
I tend to agree. I think that, and let's bring Audrey back in just for a second, and I hope certainly we've found some answers that she can, found some information perhaps that she can think about. So, Audrey, we're bringing you back in, and we're saying for all those parents out there who are listening, when it comes to seeking your purpose in life, because I know children right now who are so talented in middle school, and their parents, for various reasons, whether it's religious reasons or otherwise, are looking at suppressing those children's talents because they feel, even in some cases grandparents, they feel this is not what that child should be doing. So, Audrey, let's bring you in. Has there been anything presented tonight that gives you something to rethink in your own life?
Yes. I'm here. I'm still listening, and I'm still thinking because I'm going through the motion right now. But what I think I'm going to do, I'm going to work with my daughter right now, as Rose said, and give her a time span. Like, okay, let me work with you with your talent part, what you love to do right now, and see. But I still want her to complete high school. And the thing is, she's in high school right now, but she's just more, Dr. Walker, you know what I want to say. She's just more into her singing thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And at least to be successful in life, at least you need a high school diploma.
You need to get that
out of the way.
I agree with that. I agree with that unquestionably that, oh, there's no question, you got to finish high school. And I think that all of our callers tonight, and let me bring Rose back in. Rose, would you agree that she needs to, high school is not an option. You got to finish high school.
I would totally agree with that. But if I may ask, what grade is she in high school right now?
She'll be 10th grade, 10.
She's in the 10th grade. Okay, well,
mm-hmm.
In my opinion, if for me, she would not have a choice in that. She might have a choice in the career that she wants to take, but she would not have a choice in whether or not she finishes high school. She would have to finish high school. Now, in 10th grade, you know, if she chooses to drop out, I don't think there's much you probably can do in 10th grade. So she's already, she's 15 or 16 by now then, right?
16, mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, if she chooses to drop out at 16 and there's nothing that you probably can do about it, except that you would probably encourage her to go and do a GED. But if you can get her, to finish high school by letting her know, okay, I will support you. I will support you in the singing career that you want. Give her the time frame also, but you have to finish high school.
You hear that, Dr. Walker? Every day. Let me close my door.
Go ahead and finish that.
I think
I'm on the phone.
Go ahead, Rose. We muted it out. Go ahead. Finish your comment.
I think if she can get her daughter to kind of be a little bit more lenient, like to be on her side, and let her daughter feel as if she's also on her side, you know, to encourage her to finish high school, that is non-negotiable, you know. And whatever it is that the parent can do, okay, let's say her name is Gloria. Okay, Gloria, let's sit down and work out something for the next 2 or 3 years. Finish high school, whatever program you have to sing at, I will attend. I will try to, maybe she might need to get involved in her singing. The mom might need to get involved in her singing career that she's trying to pull off the ground. Get her bookings if she can. Now, when the daughter probably sees that her mom is really trying to help her in her choice, you know, it might be, she might not rebel so much in finishing high school.
All right. Well, having said that, I think that that's an excellent idea, but we got to find a way to make a win-win. Angela, let's bring you
Can
back
I add
in.
To that?
Yes, go ahead.
I would like to add to that. Mom should look into homeschooling. I mean, that's an option. She should also get her involved with sitting down and talking to managers, singers that's just now starting out, and let them tell her what the requirement is and how hard it was for them to, I mean, is she trying to get in the show business? Is she trying to become a professional singer? Like, is she doing what, singing for plays? I mean, that's another whole option. But I have my own opinion about school, and even if she doesn't want to go to school and mom keep pushing her, she's not going to go to school because ultimately she's going to do what she wants to do. But she should have other options out there for her. Get her in just different programs and stuff that is related to what she wants to do.
Right. Audrey, let's bring you back in. The other comments that we have, they will tie into next week's story. And next week's show is going to be, Can Parents Be Dream Killers? Can Parents Be Dream Killers? So that's the show that we're going to do next week. So it will tie into that. All right. So, Audrey, tell us here what your thoughts are.
My thoughts on what? On the whole thing?
Yes.
Right now, I'm considered to everyone around me right now as a dream killer, right now, including her. She think I'm a dream killer. Right?
Uh-huh.
She think I don't see her thing because I am seeing the purpose of the education and the purpose of her being successful if that doesn't work out because there's so many children today want to do that. So my thing is, I don't think I'm a dream killer. I think I am looking on her to be have a backative in life then, to be successful. That's why. That's the only reason why I'm pushing for the education and everything else. Something else.
Okay. I think that that is excellent. And, again, tonight we were talking about seeking your purpose in life, and we're about just outside of 4 minutes from closing tonight. So let me just get a thought from all of you all, because next week we're not going to even do a part two of this one, but we're going to go directly to Can Parents Be Dream Killers? And let me begin with asking Angela. Angela, let me ask you, what's one way that a person can seek their purpose in life? What's one way? And elaborate on that just for about 30 seconds.
I really don't honestly have an answer to that because I hear even older people saying that they wish they would have pursued things when they were younger and when it went with what they wanted to do, what their passion was. So I'm going to agree with go with your passion. Now, am I talking about go to a four-year college? No, you can find technical schools you can go to. There's continuing adult classes you could take to pursue your dream. I mean, not everybody is ready to go to college. I know I'm not.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to Audrey because we're about 2 minutes outside. Rose, we're going to give you the last word. Audrey, just name one way that a person can seek their purpose in life, and then elaborate on that for about 30 seconds.
I don't know what to say. Seek your purpose in life because I don't know. I really don't know what to say, Dr. Walker.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. We're going to actually stand by, and maybe you'll hear something that's it. Rose, we're going to give you the final word, and since Audrey didn't have anything, we'll give you about 45 seconds to tell us one way to seek your purpose in life and elaborate on that for about 45 seconds.
I would just have to say go for your passion. That's, like Angela said, go for your passion. Because your passion is what's going to drive you. If you have a passion for something, you're going to work hard at it to succeed. So go for your passion. Find out what it is you like and make that be your passion.
Okay. And I want to add to some of what you all have said, and I would say first and foremost, I believe, now this is just me, and I'm not trying to push my thoughts on anybody else, but I would say first seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Establishing a relationship with the creator of the universe and whatever powers you believe in, higher powers, whatever you call, like I call him God, I call him Father, whatever you call that spiritual being, that higher power, then I'd say have that relationship. And then that relationship would include, Father, lead me. I'm asking you to lead and guide me in the way that you would have me to go. And in doing so, I just believe when you got that relationship, you'll hear that voice, and it could lead to your passion. For example, and I'm gonna keep it real here. Over several, seems like almost 100 years ago, my passion was to become an attorney, a lawyer.
And I got sidetracked because I believed in what someone else had told me about lawyers. They say the lawyers got to lie, you know, and, you know, lawyers wouldn't make good Christians. And all of these myths that all these people that were non-lawyers had to say about it. And here it is almost 100 years later, and my passion is still a monkey on my back to become a lawyer. And recently I took the bar exam and waiting for my results to come out. And I'm telling you, until I came to the realization of what my passion is, like Rosa said and Angela has said, that is like I'm listening to that voice and my passion because I have free will. So seeking God, having that relationship with that spiritual being, and then pursuing it. And then if it's not for you, then he will close those doors. But if it is for you, those doors will be open and no man can close them. So, you know, that's my thought for the evening. And next week we're going to be featured with Can Parents Be Dream Killers? You know, I want to take this time. We're out of time now. And I want to thank all of my listeners tonight. Certainly, Audrey, we hope that this show has been a blessing to you, Rose, Angela, you know, and all of those that we weren't able to get to tonight. We certainly trust that the show has been a blessing to you as much as it has been for me. Join us, of course, tomorrow for your half-hour inspirational program. If you can't join us tomorrow night, join us back here live next Thursday at 7 p.m. from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, when our topic will be, Can Parents Be Dream Killers? All right, you don't want to miss that show. You really don't want to miss that one. Some of the comments that came in tonight, I reviewed them. They will be applicable to next week's show. So listen, until tomorrow or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.